At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back to the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey with myself, Steve Peralt, and Joey Capone. It is time to preview the Brewers and Red Sox series coming up from Fenway Park starting today. And to do that, we kick it off with the pitching matchups with Joey Capone.
Okay, folks, it is the final series before the trade deadline. Three games at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. Game one is going to be Brian Baio versus Brandon Woodruff. Woodruff is rocking a deceivingly high ERA of 3.73 after a couple bad starts early in the year. He missed most of June after being diagnosed with a rare circulatory condition that causes numbness in his extremities. Oof. Not what you want. In his five starts since his return, he has thrown 28 and two-thirds innings and has an ERA of 2.2 and has struck out 39 in those 28 innings and has given up just five extra base hits, no home runs. Brian Baio, on the other hand, has a whip of 2.5, and all five of his pitches are getting hit very well. He's allowing 16.5 hits per nine, but he has yet to give up a home run. Game two is Nick Pivetta versus Eric Lauer. Eric Lauer is a lefty who loves finding the barrels of bats. Opponents are just hitting 198 against him this month, though. He throws a four-seamer, a slider, a curve, and a cutter. Look for that curve and cutter to get knocked around a bit. Nick Pivetta is a Canadian, man. Oh, wow. He just gave up one in five and two-thirds innings in this Guardians series, which was really needed. He had a 13.5 ERA in July before that start with an opponent OPS of 1168.
Yoink.
Game three is Josh Winkowski versus Aaron Ashby. Aaron Ashby has an ERA over six since the start of June and has given up about two homers per start over that time. Watch closely for him to stink. Josh Winkowski, Big Wink, the Wink Dog, as everybody loves to call him. He had a tough outing in his last series, gave up five and three innings. His whiff rate is among the lowest in the game, but opponents are hitting just 209 against his slider. Maybe he can work that in a little bit more, and that is going to do it for your pitching preview. Steve?
That was a phenomenal pitching preview. Doesn't it feel like every single series they're just going up against another great set of starters? Like, they got to get some guy. What's up?
I thought you were going to say, doesn't it feel like every series you have an amazing pitching preview?
No.
Which, yeah, it does feel that way.
No, they're always great.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
I'm just saying it's like constantly feels like we're getting the best starters on the other team. And it's like, can't some of these other teams in late July and early August have some scrubs that are filling in for injured guys? I feel like the Sox haven't gotten a lot of that. They've been doing that to the other teams. It's like, here you go. Here's Bayo. Not scrubs, but you know, rookies.
Right. Well, Aaron Ashby is that. So game three of this series, Aaron Ashby.
Yeah. There you go. As you guys know, it is time for the weather update that is brought to you by Ed's Bubblegum.
Chew it and pop it.
Friday night at Fenway Park. Considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers as of now. I don't know.
Is considerable cloudiness the words they used, or is that your words?
That is the words they used. As of now, like that's that. What they said. They created a new version of now.
Oi, as of now.
As of now, it's going to be a low of 69 degrees. Ayo. And yeah, 36% chance of rain. So hopefully y'all avoid that at Fenway on Friday. I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday. And I'm super pumped. It's going to be good weather. Looks like it's not going to rain either of those days. Saturday is the 4 o'clock start. Looks like mid-70s around first pitch. Going to be a nice one at the old ball yard on Saturday. Get some Vodlemmies going. Have a fun time. Sunday, it's going to be mid to upper 80s around first pitch. Pretty hot one on Sunday. A few clouds, but get out the SPF 15, Joey, because it looks like you're going to need some sunscreen. What do you got, Joe?
How are we looking on the humidity front for Sunday?
Humidity 45% on Sunday. So
I don't know. I don't know if that's bad.
That's
or
not bad.
Not.
That's not
like
bad.
That's bad. No.
That's not bad.
Oof.
No.
Phew.
It's not bad. UV index of 8 out of 10, though.
And that's high.
That's high.
Ugh.
Which is all you need to know. And that is
the SPF then, folks.
Your weather update brought to you by Ed's Bubblegum. A quick breakdown of the Milwaukee Brewers who are coming to town. As let's get an update. We're going to get a live update here. The Brewers are coming to town with a 3-game lead in the NL Central over the St. Louis Cardinals. They are 11-10 in the month of July, so pretty average. The Red Sox are 7-17 in the month of July. The Brewers are 8th in the major leagues in team OPS at 731. They are 5th in the majors in runs scored, 12th in team ERA. This is a good team, Joey. This is a good team coming to Fenway. Willy Adames, Rowdy Tellez, both tied for the team lead in homers with 20 apiece. Rowdy Tellez, who has been known to hit absolute bombs at Fenway Park, leads the team in RBIs with 64. So if you're a betting man, say that Rowdy's going deep in this series because it seems like he always did that when he was on the Jays. I don't want to jump to predictions quite now, but quite now. Does that make
quite
any
nigh.
Sense? Quite nigh. Right. That was the right word. Quite nigh. But my general theme for this series, if you're a Sox fan going into it, is that you need to give a reason. Now, I know Chaim essentially said that these games aren't going to have a huge impact on the deadline, but I think what he really said between the lines is they still matter. They still move the needle a little bit. And like, let's say hypothetically they get swept here. That obviously looks terrible when you have one Astros game and then the deadline. If you're you just got to, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You're going to have to win a series at some point. You're going to have to win a series at some point. The games don't get easier until you get Kansas City next weekend. Then it's right back to it with the Braves, the Yankees. Then you get a little dip with the Pirates, but Baltimore's no gimme anymore, and you got 4 games against them in August, and then Toronto and Tampa and the Twins. And it's like, forget your opponent. You're going to have to exert your presence. You're going to have to show that you can actually compete for a postseason spot and friggin' win a series finally. Last one was against the Guardians in Cleveland on June 26th. It has been over a month.
I had a note here that I didn't bring up in our series recap. And the note says, remember MVPs? Remember we did that?
Joey, it was at the point where it was just the foregone conclusion that we were going to do MVPs every show. They were winning every series. I mean, look at that. Look at June. They beat the A's in a series. They beat the Angels in a series. Beat the Mariners in a series. Beat the A's in a series again. Beat the Cardinals in a series. Tigers in a series. Guardians in a series. They won 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They won 7 series in a row in June. Should have been 8 because they blew that second game without Houck being available in Toronto. They should have won all 8 series in June, and they have not won any of them in July. I just can't remember a roller coaster like this with the Red Sox in a long time. I mean, 2019's a little similar, but the ups and downs weren't quite like this. They were just pretty consistently like not. That cat is the cat back.
Dude, I'm just going to mute myself there.
Jesus. We got a cat yelling. Do you feed your cat, Joey?
Do I feed my cat?
I'm just saying, is your cat hungry right now? What is that yell? Is it a yell for something? Is it a cry for help?
Dude, Steve, let me tell you something right now. If I knew what that yell was for, I would have taken care of it months ago. This is all day. This is every day. This is what my cat does. He screams at me. He has food. He has water. He has a great life. He just screams.
I think the reason your cat is screaming is because a Red Sox starter has now not won a game in 32 days. And your cat has had enough of that nonsense.
That's enough.
Can we please, I beg Red Sox starters, win a game. Just win one of these games. That would be stellar. It would give you a little bit of confidence as you get some of your starters back.
I have a pretty solid bet on which one it would be, because you got Bayo, Pivetta, Winkowski.
I weirdly have faith that Winkowski's going to get back on the right track. He's had a 9 ERA in his last 3 starts, and that span an opponent OPS of 977. But he's still not, at least the one thing I'll give Winkowski, I know he doesn't have a lot of swings and misses. He has very hittable stuff. But I still don't think he's a rookie out there. I don't feel like he's a rookie when he's pitching. Like, it feels like a guy that's actually been around a little bit.
I can see that.
And so it's like, it doesn't always feel like, oh, he's going to get rocked. Like, I actually still feel decent when he's out there. In terms of Bayo, I mean, my gosh, that's been tough, Joey. Brian Bayo's got a 10.5 ERA. He's given up 22 hits in 12 innings, has gone 4 innings in each of his 3 starts, and has gotten waxed in all of them. So, I mean, I don't think it can get much worse. He hasn't given up a homer.
But there it is. Thank you.
So he's got that going for him. But all I'm saying is just a Red Sox starter, just win a damn game. That's an embarrassing stretch. Yeah. That's like a Tigers, the former, you know, the 119 lost Tigers. That's like the Pirates of all, you know. 32 days without a starter winning a game after you won every series basically in June. They've put us through
it's
it
awful.
This year, Joey.
And it also
put
feels
us
right. I wish it was more shocking, because I hear it and I go, yeah, it sounds about right.
It does sound right. That part sucks even worse.
That
it actually
it really,
doesn't
really
seem
bad.
Wrong. Yeah.
No. I'm not asking you to double check that one. I just believe it.
Yeah. Win a game, starters. Win a game.
Winning a game would be cool, dude. What you were saying about Haim and this impact that this series will have on the trade deadline and what moves are made, blah, 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 buyers or sellers, we don't know, all that. I think you got to do a bit of scoreboard watching here. I don't know if it really matters how this team does, you know, alone, just looking at them under a microscope. I think a lot of it matters, you know, how everybody else does. Like, if you get to, what are you, 6.5 or 3.5 out of a wild card spot?
Yeah, 3.5 out of the last wild card spot. And you would have to jump the Orioles, the Guardians, and the Rays to take over that last wild card spot.
If you get to 5.5 back,
it's tough.
That math.
Joey, let's
tough.
Just say this right now. They're losing that Monday game against the Astros. That's just, that has loss written all
care.
Over it.
I don't
no, but I'm saying, Joey, I'm saying that to say let's just say they're 50-51 right now, and they have three games left until the deadline. That's kind of how I look at it. I'm putting a loss on there. So you have to win this series against the Brewers if you want to be a 500 team at the deadline.
Yeah, but I still don't think that their record alone matters. If they're 500, you know, if you were 500 and you were in second place and you had the top wild card spot, who cares?
It's still. I think your record does matter. What do you mean your record doesn't matter? It definitely matters.
I don't think that affects.
It affects how you compare to the other teams that you're going to have to beat in the postseason, which is the point of all this.
Right, but what I'm saying is a better way of seeing how you compare to those other teams is your record versus theirs.
Which
if you're 500 and you're, yeah, you're.
Either way, it's bad. All I'm saying is the optics of it. Is if you lose the series against the Brewers, you're going to be under 500 at the deadline. That doesn't look great. And that's not like a great sign to the front office. Go and get all the guys we need. That doesn't really help that case. So either way, though, you're going to have to start stacking up series wins here. And if you want any chance of doing anything, just making the postseason. So start with the damn Brewers is what I'm saying. Build off of that. Do whatever you can in Houston, and then hopefully wax the Royals. That's the game plan right now. And pick up who you can. A first baseman, a closer with, what, a Brewers series win, and then whatever in Houston heading into Kansas City. I can live with that, but they can't get swept this weekend. They just can't. Absolutely. I don't want to say that that's going to have like the biggest impact of all time on the deadline, but you can't stare me in the face in my soul and say it won't have an impact. That would have an impact on what they do.
If they got swept?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, yes. What I'm saying is if you win one game here, right? Let's say you lose the series and you win one game. But the Rays do something similar. The Orioles drop three. You know,
Rays are going to have to win some games at some point here. They're in a bad stretch, too.
Like, but I'm saying if you win only one of these and you don't really, it doesn't change your wild card standing all too much. I don't know. I think it's better than if you win the series but you still drop a game if everybody else manages to sweep their way through the weekend.
Well, especially if you're telling the guys that in theory on paper could be your top trade pieces right now, if you're telling them they're staying, then you're telling them that you're buying because it really wouldn't make much sense to sell other guys. So if they're telling Bogey, which he said, that, hey, you're not getting traded. Devers not getting traded. Who knows what they said to Eovaldi, Vasquez, JD. But if they're keeping the band together, at least for the next 2 months, then yeah, buy. And I guess then that's me being a hypocrite to myself because that means that they would still buy even if they only win one of the next four games. But I'm just saying, the Brewers are legit. And if you lose this series and lose that first game against the Astros, you're looking at a 51-53 record at the deadline, which is the worst in 7 years. So it's hard to have that scenario happen and be like, all right, let's go buy everybody. But either way, we're going to have over-the-top reactions to whatever they do. And I got to say, Joey, it's nice that we're in the zone now. We're in the trade zone. We have now entered the trade zone. It lasts 5 days, and then it's done immediately at the deadline. And then we're finally going to be like, all right, pencils down. It's over. Let's analyze what happens. I'm just glad that we're in the zone now.
This is a great time to turn on Twitter notifications for people. I got them on for passing. I got them on for Nightingale.
Oof.
I love boobs tweets. I got them on for Heyman. I got them on for Rosenthal. Debating.
If you want a roller coaster,
two, we'll
have Nightingale. If you want to have an absolute.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Dude, Nightingale does this thing. Oh, my God, does it grind my gears.
What?
I hate when he is at Fenway because I've had his notifications on actually since the lockout. I just left it on. He does this thing I hate when he's at a Sox game. He tweets the final score like the moment it happens. Like he has it ready to go and he hits it. So I'll get the notification while there's like a 2-2 count with two outs.
It's part of why I don't do the Noti game.
Bob, let it breathe for a second. You don't have to be that. Like you're giving me the tweet before the broadcast shows me what happened. But anyway, I have a question for you about this upcoming series, Steve.
Yeah, what do you got?
Are they wearing the yellows?
I don't know. Should I text Cora right now? I'm sure he'd love that at 12:30 in the morning. Yo, you wearing the yellows, text bro? Him.
I feel like he might have already been asked that. Should I check?
You guys wearing the yellows?
Red Sox yellow.
It's too late. I can't be hitting him up in the AM. You know he's up, though.
He's up.
No, I'm not going to do it. I almost did.
No?
Not going to do it. It's a good question, all though, right. Joey. They are 7-1 with the yellows this year. It's a very good record. Actually, it's 7-2, right? 7-2.
I mean, they just lost two games this series.
Yeah, those are the first two losses with the yellows. They were 6-0 after game one, so that means they're 7-2 after the fourth game of the series.
They were 6-0?
Yeah, after that first game.
Didn't they lose the marathon game?
That's a white jersey. That's not the yellows.
They don't wear the City Connect for the marathon. That's strange.
I know. Well, they have a couple of marathon ones, but they are 7-2 with the yellow jerseys. I mean, I publicly say I don't like those jerseys, so like I don't really need them to keep wearing them, especially if they're not undefeated now. I'd be fine if you went to the Reds on a Friday and then the Whites for Saturday and Sunday, but do what you got to do.
I understand
last year they kept wearing the yellows when they were winning, but you know, you just split with the Guardians, so it's like, did they really bring good luck? It doesn't feel like it.
I don't know. I had a moment. I know you're going to disagree with me on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There was a moment Durant lined out to left, and I just got a good look at the standings there. And I just saw that the Sox are in last place, and then I saw Durant jogging his way back to the dugout wearing the yellow jersey, and I was like, I don't know if I want to see. I understand they need a spark. I understand. I was like, I don't know if it's the best look in the world to like be wearing the fun jersey in last place behind the Orioles. I don't know. Maybe I know that that's probably like a little boomery of me, and that probably sounds a little like, oh, why would you focus on winning a game? Then you can worry about your fashion statements. But there was just a little piece of me that was like, and they're wearing the yellows. They're in last place, and they're wearing the yellows. So I just wanted to put a gauge out there. I put out a Twitter poll just to see, like, hey, do you guys think that they keep wearing these? What I really wanted to say is, like, should they be wearing these in last place, or am I an old man yelling at the clouds?
I don't – again, I'm not – the last place thing I think is such a whatever, considering what version of last place it is. You're a half game behind a overachieving Orioles team. It's probably going to deal some of its pieces. So I don't think – I think it's pretty safe to say you can make up a 3.5 game difference between you and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays when you get guys back from the IL and when you add pieces at the deadline. It's a very simple equation. Now, what we're talking about right now, Joey, and what we're wrapping this preview with is what are the Red Sox going to look like, not only on August 2nd at 4 p.m., but what are they going to look like after that first game against the Astros. What are the vibes going to be? Rich Hill might be back for that Astros series. Just so much changes in the saga that is the Boston Red Sox that we don't know what news could happen from now until Tuesday.
Right. And with
that's
JD
not
gone.
I'm saying that's not trade related. That's like other stuff, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just internal stuff. Like with JD gone, like who's going to DH on the days that Shohei starts?
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Like with Soto in town, how are they going to rebuild the farm? Because like they have to give away everybody. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, is Soto your DH? Is Shohei your DH? That's kind of the stuff that we're trying to sift through next week. We'll get to that next week. But
look,
for
you
now,
can't take Jackie out of the lineup. You got to leave Jackie in the outfield. He's hitting .385 at Fenway.
Yeah, so. I think he's one of the best Fenway hitters ever, and I think Soto is going to join him. So,
But no, I do know what you mean though. That like I don't know what the timelines on those guys are. I was actually going to look up what their timelines were. I was looking up that exact same thing actually. And what I did find, this is actually kind of a sad stat, Steve. Trevor Story has been out since July 12th. Which I guess isn't all too long. It's like 2.5 weeks.
Feels
right?
longer than that,
A little
that,
over
yeah.
2 weeks. He leads the Red Sox in RBIs.
Yeah, well, he was on pace for 100, and that's obviously slowed down. But It doesn't lead the team in hits, I'll tell you that much, Joey Capone. JD has two hits since July 11th. What?
He's got. I don't know why they changed the whole just sit him till the deadline idea.
JD's got two hits in the last 18 days, so that's a thing. We will keep.
That's
going to
be driving him nuts, dude.
We'll keep a close eye on when he returns to the lineup. I know he's been out since the break, so when JD gets back, it's going to be awesome.
Do you know the timeline on Waka and Hill?
I think Hill is Astros series, and I'm not sure on Waka. Waka shouldn't be much further than 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. So, that was a dead arm. I think he's going to need a whole rehab from a dead arm. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the best. Wild. But any closing thoughts here, Joe?
Yeah, well, still, just on the story thing, we didn't give an actual update on him. I did see an update on him that he swung a bat yesterday, so Wednesday. And he did not swing a bat Thursday because he still has discomfort in his hand, and he said wasn't feeling good swinging. So,
do you know what he had for lunch on Thursday?
Thursday's yeah. Chicken pot pie day. Don't ask me that again. You know Thursday is chicken pot pie day.
My bad. That's on me.
It's kind of a big deal, Steve. It's the $140 million piece that you just added. And he's not even swinging a bat right now. He was swinging a bat, and then he's not swinging a bat because it hurts his hand.
Oh, Joey.
And you want him to be able to swing a bat.
It's a huge deal. I honestly haven't heard enough updates for how big a deal it is. It's something that not enough of us is talking about. So we're talking about it right now. Trevor Story needs to be back in this lineup, regardless of whatever stretch he was on. You need a big league capable hitter that can go super mega deep and drive in runs. But that will do it. For the series preview, Brewers coming to town. A first-place team is coming to town, and they're very good. They are legitimate, and they are going to try to stomp you and your two rookie starters that are going in the series for the Red Sox. Sox are going to have to win a series at some point. By golly, it would be great if it could be this one.
Amen.
For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kid.